are listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, January the 23rd, in the year of our Lord 2014. I'm your host, Tom Baker, and we have with us a co-host being Ruminations Thursday, and that is the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hello, Wes.
Hello, Dr. Baker. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Is it as cold there as it is here?
It's a -5 here right now.
Yep. I think we beat you a little bit. Now, is that wind chill or regular?
Oh, that's regular. Wind chill's about 25 minus.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how in this planet warming, how things evolve to be colder than ever?
Well, I was just saying, thank God we have global warming, huh?
Yes, I know. Well, I actually was hitting on the word evolve, because that's what we're going to be kind of talking about today.
I thought you called it evolution.
From God's point of view, it is evolution, the idea that man came into existence and the whole world apart from God. That would be a satanic point of view. But you sent me some interesting polls on human evolution. Do you want to go through any of that right now?
Right. Well, yeah, it came out just at the end of last year in December, and it was quite interesting. They took a look at how people first saw humans existed in present form. In other words, they were created at creation by God versus they evolved over time. And then they split the poll out into how people see the mankind evolving, whether it was by a supreme being like God or was natural processes. And it was quite interesting that, wouldn't you say about 3 out of 100 adults believed that it existed in the present time was the overall.
Right. And humans that have evolved over time was 60%.
Were 60% or roughly 6 out of 10.
Until you start breaking it down, what I found real interesting is they began to do it by religion. And I've always believed that the majority of people who are Christian believe that humans existed in their present form since the beginning. And white evangelical Protestants, 64% believe that, and black Protestants, 50% believe that. Now, of course, some of them believe that God did it in 6 24-hour days. Others say that, yeah, God did it through evolution. But that's kind of interesting that 64% of white evangelical Protestants believe that humans existed in their present form since the beginning of time, which means God had to create them that way.
Right. Yeah, and in taking a look at that, doing a little bit of research, if Christians try to make evolution look like, you know, God was still had a hand and he was somehow involved in it, those numbers rise even further that still God's in control. It's just a skewing of teaching, I think, or doctrine that goes on out there. And it at least for us in our churches, it says we've got a lot of work to do in terms of, you know, bringing people back the other direction in terms of the thought of creation.
Yes, one of the things that I found interesting was also between Republicans and Democrats. 2009, that's just 4 years ago, 39% of Republicans believed that human beings existed in their present form since the beginning of time. But in 2013, that jumped up almost 10 percentage points to 48%, whereas for Democrats, it went the other way. In 2009, 30% believed that human beings existed in their form, but in 2013, only 27%. So given more time, at least among Republicans, you're going to have a majority who believe that human beings did exist in their present form. And I think that's primarily because of science, specifically DNA. Do you want to expand on that?
on the DNA, you mean, in other words, each has its own unique genetic code. And
right. Answers in Genesis just yesterday was talking about a certain kind of, I think it was a fish that is able to do something because of its body parts, but nothing before or after it in the evolutionary scale has any of those body parts. And if you don't have all of them, you can't do it. And so this would be a unique kind of fish that never existed before and never, you know, evolved from anything because nothing could evolve it. I remember Dr. David Menten at Washington University, one of the first lectures I listened to in the 70s was about birds. And he was making the point that there's this one bird that has a method of eating with its beak, etc., that no other bird has. But if any part of it is missing, then the bird can't eat. And so he was making the point that you couldn't evolve these parts because all of a sudden it just had to be there. And that, of course, goes against evolution.
Yeah, or it's the old children's sermon methodology is you take a watch with all its parts, and you say, if I throw it up a billion times, it'll become a watch. I think you're almost saying the same. Well, you are saying the same thing. You know, missing pieces can't evolve.
Yeah, there are some people who believe that if you put 100 monkeys in a room for a long time with typewriters, then after a period of time, they're going to be able to actually do Shakespeare plays.
Right. And you know, creation scientists has really, I think, taken off, especially after all of Mount St. Helens. You know, when Mount St. Helens back in 1980 blew up, they saw a lot of carving out of the mountain through granite and stone by the washing away of the rock and the sediment that went there. And they said, if you take a look at the Grand Canyon, it's the same thing, but it's not millions of years, but a short period of time after the floods and things like this. So, you know, there's evidence that we can look around at that just kind of tells you that the world really was created in its natural form. I think one of the points that you've made in the past was on light hitting the Earth from stars. You know, because scientists say it takes, you know, the speed of light is, I don't know,
186,000 miles per second.
Okay, and they've been able to calculate a billion years of light, you know, light years away for a star and that.
Yeah, for us to see a star, if the light left the star, then it would take millions of years to reach Earth. But, of course, our point is when God created the world, the light was already there.
Yes, everything was in existence.
Yes.
Mankind, with the creation of man, he was already in existence.
You know, I look a lot toward evolution like I look toward abortion, is that there's two ways to counter abortion and evolution. The one way is to use the Bible, and hands down, therefore, both of those would be false teachings. But the other way is to use our own knowledge with abortion medicine and with evolution science. And it is very clear that from a medical point of view, any idea that this is not a human being is really quite ridiculous. I have a lawandgospel101.com that we have just put up recently, and I know a number of your members have joined the membership site. And for $10 a month, you get four things a month. Now, what I just put up last week, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it is a from conception to birth. They have very sophisticated photographic material that can show the conception of a human being, and it's only in a very short time before it is obviously human. I mean, it's human from conception, but it actually begins to look like a human in a very short time. And so this is why we encourage women who are thinking of having an abortion to have a sonogram first, because 95% of the women who see that then decide not to have an abortion because they see it's really a human being.
I think that's an important point that you bring out. I mean, especially when you look at how, quote, mankind evolved, there's a life there, and it's a life really that God has created from the very beginning. And you know, Romans 1, it tells us you can just look around at creation, you can see the things that are made, and understand that somebody made them. You know, we call that a natural revelation.
Yes.
You know.
Well, we're talking on a program called Law and Gospel, so I want to move now to the theological, away from the scientists, where most of the scientists would definitely support the creationist point of view. When we move into theology, why is it dangerous to believe in evolution? In other words, that Adam and Eve were not, you know, there at the beginning of the world.
Well, because at that point you are saying that God made an imperfect human being, and that runs is really counter to the Genesis account, because when God created man, he brought all the animals before him, and see how he would name them. So it bespeaks of human intelligence that was going on and a perfect creation. And as you pointed out in previous programs, you know, at the end of creation, when God took a look at it, he said, it is good.
Yes. Numbers here in St. Louis are 821-0850, if you'd like to talk about this subject. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. We're talking about evolution. And Pastor Reimnes was just making the point that the Bible is clear that death came into the world because of sin. And yet, if you believe in evolution, there was plenty of death before the first humans even came around. And that would be a contradiction of Scripture. Does Jesus mention at all how sin came into the world, or Adam and Eve?
How sin came into the world?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, how death came into the world.
Well, through one man, of course, which would be Adam.
Yes. So you're really denying Jesus' teaching when you believe in evolution. See, that's a point. The postmodern point of view is there is no such thing as propositional truth, which means that you really don't have any evidence at all for creationism. But the Bible gives plenty of it, and then, of course, so does science. So that's something we really need to be kind of looking at. In other words, there are plenty of passages in the Bible. Paul says, as through one man sin entered into the world and death, then also through one man, and they're talking about Jesus, life comes. So if you believe in evolution, that's a denial of the Apostle Paul, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Okay, our phone numbers are 821-0850. Or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Herman.
Yes, Herman, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to mention the evolutionists often have an auxiliary argument. It might be considered as that, well, unless you believe in evolution, you're not supporting our science and its advancement materially of the human race. If you don't buy that, I know young people have told me, unless they go along with the evolutionist professor in college, they won't get a good grade out of the class. And also, there are what are called liberal theologians who try to use evolution as a hermeneutic to trump Scripture. Just want to see what you'd think of those.
Okay, Wes, evolution as a hermeneutic to trump Scripture.
I'm glad that he brought this up, because it's something that I do with my confirmation class, high school, or even some of my college kids come and talk to, I said, you know, they've got to get that grade out of their class, so to speak. Nothing wrong with saying this is the theory that mankind has proposed. This is how people have, and they got into it, and the class erupted. You found out that 90% of the class took it because they didn't believe in evolution. But the professor there was, in that instance, said, I must teach it. I'm required by the university. And he said, it's not against your faith and things like that. So that's where I first encountered that you can get through it by just talking about it in terms of theory.
Yes.
You don't have to make it a belief system.
Well said. Is that okay, Herman?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank
you. It was a good question.
And we're just going to go down the line here, and we're going to be talking now to Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
How are you guys doing? Listen, I was hearing you talking about, you know, the stars being, you know, billions of light years away, but yet we can see them. But, you know, the Russians, when they were communists, they were the first ones to come up with the theory that the speed of light was much faster than it is today, and that it slowed down geometrically. And I even heard that they can still measure the speed of light. They can still show where it's slowing down, but slowing down so slow that, you know, you need real good scientific instruments to measure it.
I had never heard that before. Had you, Wes, heard about this? That's very interesting, Mike. I appreciate your calling on that. I've never heard anything about the speed of light outside 186,000 miles per second. And Einstein's MC equals 2? What is it? MC squared.
Square, yeah.
Yeah. Would use the 186,000 miles. What he says is that if you can go faster than the speed of light, you actually would go into the past. And if you could let the speed of light go by you and yet not go with it, you're into the future. And that actually was somewhat proven by planes going in different directions around the world, and they had atomic clocks on them, and there was less than a second in difference after they had gone around the world once.
Mm.
And it was kind of interesting experiment, and nobody's laughing at Einstein today here. So anybody else can call at 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. On Fridays, by the way, on his time in the morning, Pastor Wirth often comes on to talk about the latest news on evolution. So I would encourage you to be listening to that. That's on Fridays, and he's usually a regular guest about that point of view. How do you see, Wes, evolution affecting, say, confirmation kids who are a little ignorant of things, or even adult instruction?
I find, especially with my confirmation kids, that I have to spend, like this year, I had to spend a minimum of 3 class periods talking about the creation of man and of that nature. One of the videos that I came up with was Out of Nothing, the Word, Creation, and Faith, and it's put out by Lutheran Hour Ministry, Men's Network. It's lhmnen.com, I should say. And it does a wonderful job talking about how the world was created, how we view it, how we're not opposed to the scientific method. It's what they do with it in terms of observing. And I've had to weed that out with our kids quite a bit so that they can have a better understanding of who they are as God's creatures and the things that they're learning.
Okay, our numbers here, 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Sandy. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Are either of you, one of you, or either of you familiar with Ken Ham?
Well, he's on KFUO a lot of times.
I thought I've heard him before in the past.
Yes.
And, of course, have you heard of Bill Nye the Science Guy?
What's his name? Bill the what?
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Yeah.
I had not.
There is, on February 4th, a debatelive.org, if you can find. They are going to hash out evolutionary theory from the Science Guy, and then Ken Ham is going to of course, firmly stand with scientific proof of a creation. And it's on February 4th.
Now, is Bill the science guy, is he for creation or evolution?
He is for evolution.
Oh, good. Now, I'll tell you why I say good on that is because the Creation Research Society has often had debates on university campuses, and they're having a hard time getting them because every time the debate is over, they have a vote among the students as to who won, and the creationists, by and large, have better scientific facts and almost always win. And so evolutionists, it's really hard to get them to debate. So this is going to be interesting. Is this over the Internet?
It's live stream. I don't have too many details. Can I mention Ken Ham's website? And I think the details are on there.
Okay.
It's Answers in Genesis.
Yes.
Is his website, and it should give details exactly what time.
I sure appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
That's great. Thank you.
God bless. Any other comments you want to make? We're almost out of time here, Wes, on evolution.
No, I think we've covered quite a bit of ground. I mean, other than to talk about it, that when it came to creation, God created it, and he said it was good. And I think you hit the nail right on the head and right center when you said it really comes down to, did Christ believe it or not? And he did.
Yes. Well, let's go and hear what Cheryl has to say. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. It became evident to me watching a Ray Comfort film called Evolution versus God. It's 38 minutes long, where he confronts biology professors who teach evolution. It became evident to me that evolution is a religion, because at one point he was confronting them. A woman biology professor said, "You Christians have no imagination."
Hmm.
That was her answer to how he was confronting her.
Yeah, that's what science is based on, imagination.
Yeah, they're using their imagination, and they're making it into a religion.
Yes.
It's in direct rebellion to God and his word, and it's just like any other rebellion. We do it all the time. We do it in different ways, but this is a rebellion against the word of God.
Absolutely. I sure appreciate your call, Cheryl. Thank you so much. Any comments on that, Wes?
I think she said it well. It kind of reminds me of a long quotation of Luther, shortly said, you know, you can rely on man's observation versus God's observations, and we should give the Holy Spirit credit for knowing what really, really happened at creation.
You just talked about the two big distinctions found in the Heidelberg, the theologian of self-glory and the theologian of the cross. The self-glory theologian tries to figure out God from his observations of his environment and what's going on in his life. And the theologian of the cross observes God and his understanding of humankind and salvation by means of the Word of God. So the Word of God always trumps man's observation. That's the point.
Very well said.
So what we have here is evolution. People are using their imagination and making all kinds of ridiculous claims. For example, the age of the Earth is so old because it would take light millions of years to reach it. And so they look at things from a naturalistic point of view. And by denying the supernatural, they therefore take away the clear words of Scripture that shows us very well that God created the world in 6 24-hour days, at which time human beings were also created sinless. And then when they fell into sin, this resulted in death. Before we leave, I guess I'm preaching at your place. You want to indicate the hours and the place?
Oh, yeah. We plan on having you here for 5 o'clock Saturday Bible class, 6 p.m. Saturday worship. Sunday morning, 7:45 over WDUC, and 10:15 worship and 9 o'clock Bible class on Sunday, corner Pearl and Market Street in Havana.
All right. Thank you very much, Wes. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow, open mic.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.